The final horn is blown and the fat lady is singing. But you're just tuning in?
Gee willikers, did I miss the match, eh?
Yes, but after every Southern California broadcast, Nick and Daryl are doing a little overtime of their own. It's King's Talk. Heard exclusively on 790 KABC, covering all things Kings and taking your calls at 800-ABC-KABC. That's 800-222-5222. Call in now with your thoughts and comments on tonight's game and be a part of the show. King's Talk with Nick Nixon and Daryl Evans starts now.
Welcome back to King's Talk. Daryl Evans along with Nick Nixon. We're at the DraftKings Fantasy Sports Bar and Lounge located at Staples Center this afternoon. The Kings in overtime. Tanner Pearson's 11th of the season lifts the Kings over the Wild by a score of 4-3. Second of seven straight on home ice for the Kings. They are now 1-1 on this current seven-game homestand, battling back after a loss to Detroit the other night. Next opponent on Monday night, they'll take on the Dallas Stars. Big win for the Kings. Jeff Carter, an outstanding game, goal and two assists. Tanner Pearson, the game-winning goal. So same guys getting the job done. Good to see Marion Gabrick get himself on the score sheet, picking up his second goal of the season. And that's a big boost for the Kings to have another outlet contributing offensively. And hopefully that'll continue for the Kings. If you want to give us a call here this afternoon, feel free to do so. Again, we're at the DraftKings Fantasy Sports Bar and Lounge located at Staples Center. And our number is 800-222-5222. That's 800-ABC-KABC. And Nick and I will be more than glad to answer any questions or talk anything about the Kings, All-Star game coming up, the season, whatever you want to talk about, just give us a call.
And before we get to our calls, let's get you a trivia question to start things off with. Minnesota Wild in here this afternoon. Of course, they were an expansion team about 16 years ago. Who was the first captain in Minnesota Wild history? Who is the first captain in Minnesota Wild history? I'll give you a hint, he was at the game here today. All right, 800-222-5222. Daryl mentioned the Kings homestand will continue here Monday. The Dallas Stars are in town. Three Western Conference teams come in next week. We'll see Dallas on Monday. And then on Thursday, the St. Louis Blues also at 7:30. And Saturday night, a week from tonight, Winnipeg Jets at 7 o'clock. So you've got two of those three opponents coming up, Dallas and Winnipeg, that are right in the playoff mix with the Kings as far as wild card teams go. Kings with a win here today, now to within 3 points again of third place Edmonton. Of course, the top three in each division automatically qualify. Then you've got two wild cards. And to start play, Calgary and Vancouver had leaped a point or two ahead of the Kings. And those two will face off again tonight. Vancouver won against Calgary in Vancouver last night. They play in Calgary tonight. But right now with a win, the Kings move ahead of both Calgary and Vancouver. So it's that tight. And, of course, in the Central Division, St. Louis, Winnipeg, two teams that are right there in the wild card hunt as well. All right, let's get to the phones. Let's go to Rancho Cucamonga, and Blair kicks it off this afternoon here on King's Talk on KABC. Hi, Blair, welcome.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good, thanks. What's up?
Yeah, it's Rancho Santa Margarita, but it's all right.
All right, okay, no problem.
Yeah, I have a good thing to talk about, or a great thing to talk about, but you guys are first to last right now. Is that true? But, you guys say you're in third, but the Ducks are in first, Sharks are in second, Kings are first to last, but it doesn't matter right now because you got a lot of games to play. You just started the season almost, right?
Well, we're halfway through the season. We haven't just started the season. We're almost halfway through, Blair. The standings are tight. I mean, with the Kings winning right now, you've got only 7 points separating the top six in the division from Anaheim, San Jose, Edmonton, the Kings, Calgary, and Vancouver. And again, Calgary and Vancouver, someone's going to get 2 points in their matchup tonight. So it's going to be, I think, this way the rest of the year. It'd be nice if you could rattle off a 10-game winning streak like Philadelphia did, or a 16-game streak like Columbus, or 12 games like Minnesota recently did. It's going to be tight. A lot of parity in the league. We mentioned the wild card. Nashville, 41 points. Winnipeg, 41. Dallas, 40. Kings have 44. So it's going to be highly contested between a number of teams.
My thing is that I've never seen the Kings. Well, I mean, last year they didn't make it, but I want to see them this year make the playoffs. Maybe play the Ducks in the playoffs, do something in the playoffs.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, yeah. I mean, the key is getting into the postseason. We all know that, because once you get in with parity in the league, just about anything can happen. Blair, thanks for the call. Oh, by the way, before you go, you want to stab at our trivia question?
Yeah, I heard it, and then I was like, oh, I do not know this question, but I'll try.
Okay, who was the first captain in Minnesota Wild history? Any idea? He was here at the game today.
Not one. Sorry, I don't have any clue.
Okay, no problem. Thanks for the call, Blair. Have a good 2017. Peter in Thousand Oaks, 800-222-5222. You're next up on Kings Talk here on KBC. The Kings winning today 4-3 in overtime against Minnesota. Hi, Peter.
Hello there. Happy New Year, guys.
Thank you.
I was at the game. Exciting, exciting. Always great to see 3-on-3 overtime. And, of course, the Kings victory almost, sad there for about 42 seconds. But we got the win. I wanted to comment I want to hear you comment on how Coach Sutter never uses his timeouts. Tonight, he had to use that timeout basically because we had 6-0 goals if you count the Detroit game. What do you guys think about that? Was that a shrewd move?
Well, I don't think he never uses his timeout. I don't agree with that. Coaches, they pick different times. Sometimes when a team has been out and you ice the puck, that those guys need a rest in a defensive zone faceoff. I thought the timing when the Kings fell behind tonight by a couple of goals. He's got a feel for things on the bench. Some of it has to do with, aside from the scoreboard, sometimes it's just body language, what you see from the players. And at that time, it didn't look like the Kings were engaged like they needed to be. And listening to a couple of guys and talking to them in the locker room at the end of the game, that was exactly the way it came. And that was kind of the comment that they led to after why that timeout was taken, that, they needed to get dialed in. And, the other night against Detroit in the first period, they come off to a very similar start. They got off. Detroit scored on their first shot. They had a chance to kind of reset the machine there when Tanner Pearson had the penalty shot, but he didn't score. Had he scored there, they may have been able to redial that game and start all over, but that didn't happen. So tonight, I think Daryl Sutter felt that he better nip this one right now, and that's exactly what they did. And the Kings as a team followed through, and a big second period got them back in the game and eventually leading them to 2 points.
Yeah, Peter, I agree. I think it was well-timed on Daryl's part early down 2-0. I think he sensed something at ice level, or didn't sense something, which is why he called it. You only get the 30-second timeout. And, of course, if you challenge and lose a challenge early in a game, then you lose your timeout in the rest of regulation or in overtime. Peter, who was the first captain in Minnesota Wild history? I'll give you a hint. He was in the building here today. Any idea?
It's a great question. I'm going to take a stab at it. I think he was even on the ice. Was it Marion Gaborik?
Great guess. No, he was not the first captain. He was an original Minnesota Wild player, their first-round pick. But that's a great guess. Incorrect, however. Thanks, Peter. Appreciate it. 800-222-5222. Winners of our trivia question get Bailey's Best of Popcornopolis gift basket filled with all of your game time favorites, such as world-famous caramel, cheddar cheese, cinnamon toast, kettle corn, and, of course, zebra. Each flavor handcrafted one batch at a time, using only the finest and freshest ingredients available. Be sure to visit popcornopolis.com for store locations and delicious gifts for every budget. And if you win, we'll get it to you definitely faster. Well, not definitely then. This is tough. Faster than a Jeff Carter wrist shot. He's flying, isn't he, out there? I mean, every game he gets his looks. Came out of his zone with speed through center ice to the right circle. probably a shot that Kemper would like to have back. He thought he tracked it, but Carter can really rip it. And 22 goals, second in the NHL to Crosby's 26.
Yeah, I think anytime, Nick, that you get the hands and the legs going at the same time, this is what happens. And Jeff Carter's got gifts on both ends of it. He's got great legs. He's got great hands. And he's been putting it together. Just the separation that he creates. Sometimes it's the release, the point of, you know, the point of release, the quickness of the release. And, yeah, Kemper, I think, would like to have had that one back. Similar to Budaj, he would like to have had the first shot back as well. So, you know, it kind of was a wash in that regard. But Jeff Carter's just been such a dominant player. He's been involved in over 35% of the Kings' goals, or he's factored in on over 35% of the Kings' goals. Just having a great season to this point, 36 points.
Yeah, and he's the only player in the league that has twice as many goals as any of his teammates, which is pretty remarkable. I know the Kings have been struggling in that regard offensively, but certainly not Jeff Carter. His 12th multiple-point game of the year, no other King has more than four. So Jeff Carter, a tremendous first half. By the way, his career high is 46 goals. He did that with Philadelphia early in his career. So we're almost at the halfway point, 22. So he may give that a shot. All right, 800-222-5222. Our first question, who was the first captain in Minnesota Wild history? He was in the building here today. It was not Marion Gaborik, who obviously was in the building playing for the Kings. Let's go to Pomona and Noah next up on KABC and Kings Talk. Hi, Noah.
Hey, how's it going, you guys?
Good, thanks.
I just wanted to talk about, I wanted to get your opinion on what I've noticed is changing culture in the NHL. It seemed like a couple years ago, the way the Western Conference teams were building their teams, the way the Eastern Conference teams were building their teams was a little bit different, but I've kind of noticed a sort of a dynamic shift change in the way that NHL teams are building their teams. It seems that the culture is trending more towards speed, not as much towards the big guys. I mean, here in the Western Conference, we do tend to build more with big guys. But I just kind of wanted to get your take on the change in culture.
Yeah, it's a good question. And I think, you know, like a lot of leagues, teams become copycat teams. They see how teams win championships, and they figure we've got to build our team that way. And I think we saw that, especially in our division, when the Kings won it in 2012 with the big, heavy team. How many times have we heard that? And we still hear it from opponent coaches and players whenever we go on the road. So you've got to figure out, well, how do you beat that? Well, I think Pittsburgh figured, well, let's get some more speed and quickness in our lineup. And they threw four lines out there last year in the playoffs that could move. They could dart. They moved the puck quickly, which is the best way to beat a defense. So I think it changes in that regard. But you know, it's interesting, Noah and Darryl. You know, Minnesota's added some two big kids. They didn't play a whole lot here today. But I think when teams come out to California, they still feel that they've got to have that size. It's going to be a tough game along the boards because San Jose, Anaheim, and the Kings are still pretty big hockey teams.
Yeah, you know, and I think that's why it's important for a team. If you establish yourself as a certain type of team, I think you have to play to your identity. I don't think you try to play the game that the other team plays. And one team that really jumps out at me, not just, you know, the other night, but over the last number of years, the Detroit Red Wings have always been a puck possession team. They've never been a big team that's going to try to run you out of the building. And regardless of who they play against, whether it's the most physical team or a team that's run and gun, they stick to playing their game. And I think that's what we see with the Kings. They have established an identity. They're a puck possession team. They're a heavy team. They like to cycle the puck. But I think what we've seen in the last couple of years is that speed factor come in, the quickness of the game. Very noticeable in a young team in Colorado a couple of years, Calgary. And these are teams that caused a little bit of trouble for the Kings. The Buffalo Sabres now, they have a little bit of that element. Edmonton's always had that skill factor, and they've added a little bit of size, bringing guys like Lucic. You got Maroon there, Cassie in there now. So they got a couple of big bodies. So I think there's a happy medium there. It's all comes down to the will of the player, though. I mean, you can sit there and you can get guys that are 6'9", 250 pounds, but if they're not willing to go in a battle and get engaged in the game, and if they haven't got the skill to be able to play, eventually it's going to get exposed.
Yeah, Darryl, do you really think there's a difference in the way the Eastern Conference as a group plays, attacks the game compared to the West?
I still think there's probably a little bit more run and gun in the East, but again, because of what happened there, you know, you look at the Kings with a couple of Stanley Cups, and you look at the way the Chicago Blackhawks play the game. It was dominant there for a few years in the West. Anaheim got a cup back in 07. So I think there's been a little bit of a change from probably more so the East. They got a little bit bigger, added a little bit of size. But you look at the young kids that are coming up today, the size that they have, the skill set that they have with the, you know, with that put together. And, you know, look at the players right now, you know, the top guys that are playing the game now. Matthews is not a small body out there. McDavid's not a small body. And these guys are going to fill out a little bit more as they get older. But these guys got the skill and they've got the size. And, you know, Jeff Carter, you know, he's a big body out there, but we don't consider him a big body. But he's got that size. So the size, that long stride, the ability to be able to keep the puck away from guys, that gives you that puck possession, and that's always an element. It still comes down to skill and will.
Noah, good call. Our question for you, my friend, who was the first captain in Minnesota Wild history, not Marian Gabrick, and he was in the building. Who was it?
You know, I have no clue. I'm going to bow out and just say thank you, guys.
Okay. Thanks, Noah. Enjoy the rest of the weekend. All right, let's take a break. 800-222-5222. Kings Talk here at the DraftKings Fantasy Sports Bar and Lounge at Staples Center with a Kings rally. They win it in overtime on a Tanner Pearson goal. 4-3, Tanner Pearson, two overtime winners this week, four in his career. The Kings now 8-1 this year in overtime. They were 12-3, I believe, last year. So that's 20-4 in overtime games in the last two seasons. Pretty impressive. All right, KBC Kings Talk, back with more of your calls at 800-222-5222. Still looking for the right answer. Who was the first captain in Minnesota Wild history? We'll be right back.
All these holiday gifts I received were so thoughtful, but not thoughtful enough that I won't return them. Your top reasons to visit Morongo.
You could also win a brand new Jaguar XE every Sunday in January.
Number two.
Win big with Morongo Mega Mystery Bonus Thursdays.
And the number one reason to go to Morongo Casino Resort and Spa this week.
Relaxing deals at Sage Spa. Call 877-SPA-SAGE to make an appointment.
Morongo, good times.
Hey, is that a faucet running?
Nope. That's not a faucet. That's a river rushing through the forest.
It is?
Yeah. Forest rivers provide over 100 million people with clean water to drink. The water comes straight from the forest to us. In fact.
What? I can't hear you because of the vacuum.
That's not a vacuum. That's the trees in the forest cleaning up the air we breathe.
How do trees clean the air?
They soak up the dirty air on their leaves, branches, and trunks, which means clean air for us.
Cool. I didn't know that.
Yep. But the forest does more than give us clean air and water. It gives us shade for hot days, birds to listen to, and trees to climb.
Wow, that's awesome. I didn't know how cool the forest could be. Hey, let's go explore some more.
Visit the forest today and enjoy all it does, just for you. To learn more about the forest and find one near you, go to discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Get your hands-free device, lower your radio, and give us a buzz. Not necessarily in that order. 800-ABC-KABC. That's 800-222-5222. It's King's Talk with Nick and Daryl.
All right, back here at the DraftKings Fantasy Sports Bar and Lounge. Kings in overtime beat Minnesota 4-3 and a goal by Tanner Pearson. Jeff Carter, the number one star with a goal and two assists, now with 22 goals and 14 assists for a team-high 36 points. Drew Doughty, a couple of assists. Jake Muzzin, a goal and an assist. And the overtime winner, Tanner Pearson from Martinez and Kopitar. Martinez had just come on the ice. Of course, in overtime, the Kings bench by the blue line where they're attacking. And Kopitar spotted him, threw it across the ice, and then Martinez threw it in front where Pearson, I think he kind of raced out, positioned, if you want to say, Zucker, and got a stick on it to deflect it in. All right, we have a gentleman here at the DraftKings Sports Bar and Lounge. Hello there, what is your name?
Austin, how are you?
Austin, good to see you again. What's up?
I had a question, what you guys thought about the first period versus the second, and then also I was wondering, what do you think the Kings are going to do about defensive liabilities behind the Kings goal line?
Define defensive liabilities behind the goal line.
Well, in the first period, I saw four guys sitting in the corner with the puck in the corner. We had only one guy guarding outside of the corner, and all the Wild was just surrounding us, and they were all in position.
I think the key thing that you said there was the first period. The Kings did not show up to play in the first period. So I don't think that that's an issue. If you look at the Kings' goals against and their defensive play, it's up amongst the leaders in the league. So they've done a great job down there. It's positioning, and you have to stay connected in five-man units in a defensive zone. If guys get outnumbered in the corner, and that's what the opposition is trying to do, they're trying to isolate one of the defenders two-on-one to be able to create a lane or a path towards the net, get a shot on goal. So that's where your centerman really becomes active, and that's where guys like Carter and Kopitar are so good. They've got the long reach. They come back, and they provide that support. But first guy's got to get in there. He's got to make contact, get an eliminate, isolate your guy, and then everybody's got to mark their guy. The furthest guy away from the puck on the opposite side, he's the least threatening. So make sure you got that area covered. In the first period, the Kings were lax, a couple of little breakdowns, just a little separation. And we all know in this game, it's only a half a second. So timeout a half a second, and that's what you got to do. And they picked it up later, and by that, they took over the game.
Austin, here's our question. You ready? You've heard it.
Yep.
It's not Marion Gaborik. Who's the first captain in Minnesota Wild history?
Well, I know the Wild have had the rotating captaincy, so that would complicate things, but I'm going to guess Wes Walls.
Wes Walls, incorrect. Incorrect. Good guess. Good guess.
All right. I think he used one of his lifelines here. He called a friend, and the friend here gave him bad information.
Bad information.
These guys are horrible.
Very consistent with the bad information over here.
This technology, this Googling stuff, it's got to go. Yep. I mean, you've got to use our craniums here, people.
We giggle.
Okay, now, let me ask you this. I gave you the clue. Was Wes Walls in the building today?
I do not believe he was in the building today.
And that was my clue. My clue at the start was he was in the building today.
Not listening now.
Say
that too much.
Thanks for stopping by, Austin. Appreciate it. 800-222-5222. Let's go to Davis in West L.A. next up on the show. Kings Talk on KABC. Hi, Davis.
Hi. I think it's David, but how are you?
Oh, I'm sorry, David. How are you? Good, good.
I'm good. I feel guilty here because I did Google it. But I'm guessing he actually played for the Kings as well.
Yes. Give me the initials.
And he was he's kind of on your broadcast team.
Kind of. Yeah. You're getting it. I think you got it.
And but you used too much time. You're over.
Time's
up. He knows how to pack a punch.
Yeah, right, right.
And it's Sean O'Donnell.
Yes, that's right.
Yes, okay. Yeah. And I just want to say one thing besides that. New Year's Eve, I couldn't make it. It was my 65th birthday, and we had a New Year's Eve party at my house. And I realized we had the game on and that you were honoring Darrell Evans and the rest of the Kings, that the Miracle of Manchester. And I was at that game, and I had the honor of sitting in the press box. And when it was 5-0, I said, "It is not a 5-0 game. It's you know, they're getting the bounces."
Yeah, it was like 9-0.
Yeah. No. But I don't know. I was an optimist. But when we got our first, you know, I said, "It just, you know, we might come back." And I said, "There's one." And everybody giggled. I said, "There's two," and everybody giggled. When we got the third one, they stopped giggling. And, I'm glad it worked out. So, you know, I guess in my household, we're perennial optimists, because when we were down 3-0 to San Jose when we won the Cup, my wife said, we're going to come back. And she was right. So,
yeah, well, along those lines, David, whenever I go to a sporting event, I never leave early. And sometimes the people that are with me are going, come on. I never – baseball, football, it doesn't matter what it is, because like you say, as long as they're still playing, there's still a chance. I'm telling you, there's still a chance. So, yeah. So you're dating both of us here, because we both remember the Miracle, and we're there. We were actually there at Staples back in 1982. Good job, David. Stay on the line and give the guys your address, and we'll get you – Bailey's Best of Popcornopolis gift basket to enjoy here in 2017. All right, we got to rack up another question here. Kings win it 4-3 over Minnesota in overtime. Next up, Dallas Stars here, and then St. Louis Thursday. Dallas here Monday, St. Louis Thursday. Next Saturday night, the Winnipeg Jets. 800-222-5222. Let's go to Francie in Lomita next up on King's Talk. Hi, Francie. We lost Francie. Sorry about that. How about Jesse in Long Beach? Jesse, hello there.
How you doing? Oh, hello?
Are you there, Jesse?
Can you hear me? Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
All right, I was just going to ask about Derek Forbert. It seemed like going into the season, he was a bit of a question mark. I didn't feel a ton of, I don't want to say they weren't confident in him, but I didn't hear a lot of talk about him as a top four defenseman, but he sort of turned into one. Can you talk about his progression?
Yeah, absolutely. As a matter of fact, on the pregame show the other night, we had John Stevens on, King's assistant coach, who was a former defenseman. And from the start of training camp, Derek Forbert really opened up the eyes of King's management to the point where he made the team number one. And then, of course, it's been a while. I'd say within 3 weeks into the season, they started putting him with Drew Doughty, and that's been a pair that's been solid. It's been there. You know, more so than the other combinations. His size, his reach, his skating ability, his grittiness. Early in his career, I think that was a concern, that he had that, like, that grit that you like to see from NHL defensemen. But, boy, it seems to be all coming together for him.
Yeah, I think when you look at, his opportunity coming to him, sometimes somebody else gets an injury, and Braden McNabb in this case, when he was out for an extended period of time, that opened the door up for him, and to his credit, he took advantage of it, and he's put himself in a good spot. He's getting a lot of experience. Anytime that you get a chance to play with a world-class defenseman, Norris Trophy winner and Drew Doughty, your game is only going to improve. I think elements in his game that he's getting better at is the compete factor. He's engaging in those battles. His decision-making process seems to be getting a little bit quicker. And let's face it, though, 6 years ago when the Kings took him in the first round, They had projection of him playing in a National Hockey League. So, to say it just came out of nowhere, I don't think that's the case. I think the opportunity at the beginning of the season when he was here, the Kings are kind of a little bit of a crossroads with his career. They had to make a decision whether or not he was going to be an NHL defenseman, and it's worked out pretty good to this point. He continues to keep getting more experience each game that he plays in. He's playing in different situations. He's playing the power play. He's playing the penalty kill. And again, he's got a great tutor in Drew Doughty. So he's doing a great job with it, and it's glad. It's really been a big benefit for the Kings.
Yeah, and it's interesting. We've had calls, Jesse, about the upcoming expansion draft and the protection lists. Teams can protect 7 forwards, 3 defensemen, and a goalie, or 8 skaters and a goalie. And, you would think that the logical 3 defensemen for sure that you protect are Doughty, Muzzin, and Martinez. They're all under contract and are really, established, defenders on your team. But, Forbert and McNabb, what does it come down to? They don't have to protect Gravel because he doesn't have enough time as a pro. But it's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting because, like we said, Derek Forbert is playing well. And earlier, 2 days, was it 2 games ago or the last game? He played 25 minutes.
Yep.
And as we all know, we look at ice times, and that's the best indication as to how a player's doing. Because if you're not playing well, the coach is not going to put you out there.
Yeah,
so.
No doubt about it. And there's going to be periods throughout this season and even in the early part of his career that he's going to have some peaks and valleys. And we've seen that. But now you start to see the valleys. They're very small. The peaks are becoming a lot more consistent. He's really leveling off his game. He's a player that the coaching staff can trust in a lot of different situations. So you get the trust from the coaching staff. You get your own confidence up. And you get a pretty good product on the ice, and that's exactly what Derek Forbert delivers for the Kings right now.
All right, Jesse, we had a winner on our first question. Are you ready for our second question?
Sure, although to be fair, I knew the answer with the first one without going on. But him
knew. You did? You knew it was Sean O'Donnell?
I sure did.
Okay, good for you. All right, let's see how good you are with this one. We ramp it up a little bit here. Tomas Sandstrom was here, a legend, Kings legend, honored before the game. Of course, a European import from Sweden. Our question here is, who is the first European-born defenseman to get 1,000 NHL points? Who is the first European-born defenseman to get 1,000 career points? Now, obviously, this player had to play a ton, a long time in the NHL. That goes without saying. Any idea?
I'll just guess Lidstrom.
Oh, well, you're a good guesser, my friend. Yeah, Nick Lidstrom. Recently retired, recently inducted into the Hall of Fame. Yeah, he was the first to get 1,000 NHL points as a European-born defenseman. Congratulations to you, Jesse. Stay on the line and give the guys your address. We'll get you Bailey's Best of Popcornopolis gift basket. All right, good job. 800-222-5222. Daryl, we mentioned Jeff Carter's play. Good to see Marion. Gambrick the other night had some chances early in the game. He continued, had four shots on goal, finally got a goal, and you're just hoping that leads to more productivity.
Yeah, I think the other night, you know, pucks were going to the net, but I thought tonight pucks with intent were going to the net. He just seemed to have a little bit more jump in his stride, and one of his greatest assets throughout his career has been his skating ability, and I just thought he followed up, and he got rewarded tonight by doing the right things and going into the hard areas. He was taking some body contact. I saw him get in, first guy in on the forecheck to separate the puck from the opposition. So if he continues to keep doing that, he's going to get his share of points just because of the skill set he has. But Kings need his, you know, his production, and he can make a difference on the power play as well. And even got some chance to play some 3-on-3 tonight because of what he did during the game.
Yeah, yeah. Kings win it 4-3 in overtime. We've got to say good afternoon. Now we head across the street. Tip of King is underway at the LA Live event deck. Jeff Carter, goal number 22. Marion Gabrick second, Muzzin's fourth, and the game winner in overtime. Tanner Pearson at 3:32, his 11th goal of the year. He's second on the team in goals now, and is second overtime winner this week. He won the game in San Jose on Tuesday. Our thanks to Jose Fernandez and Luis Segura back at KABC on site. John Traconis and Christian Collins. We will talk to you next Monday as the homestand continues. We'll be on the air at 7 o'clock with the pregame, 7:30 play-by-play. Dallas Stars are in town. Game 3 of the 7-game homestand. All right, Kings win it 4-3 in overtime. For Daryl Evans, Nick Nixon saying so long and good afternoon. Drive safely out there. Have a good weekend. We'll talk to you on Monday. So long, everybody.
I hate rats so much. I scream like a girl. I run away. I freak out. I get shivers. I lose control of this.
Is the best news of my life, Bernard. Steve, have you heard this? Now, when I get these offensive pictures, I'm just going to send you back rat photos. Just
well, I can look at a picture.
Photos. It'll be videos.
No, I'm going to murder you, and then I'm going to bury you in a pile of feces.
Rat feces? Yeah, that's
okay.
True.
Recognize.
Thank you for that.
Dr. Drew, Midday Live. Mike Catherwood. Weekdays noon to 3 on KABC.